Well, we're very excited about this series, Inside and Out. It's taken from the movie Inside Out. Obviously, if you have seen that, you recognize the trailer. If not, well, you should go watch it because it's quite enjoyable. If you're a dad of a teenage girl or about to be a teenage girl, you really need to get the movie and watch it. It'll be helpful. It's good parenting training. But the movie's all about the emotions that we have on the inside and how they are lived out on the outside. And so we're going to take a look at four of those the next couple of weeks, the next 4 weeks, as we talk about joy and we talk about anger, we talk about sadness, we talk about fear, and talk about how they are instrumental, how they are part of us. We live with them, we feel them, we react to them, and then how do we live those out? And how does that change our lives and help us live our lives well? So we're going to be talking about that next few weeks. We have our control panel here. Kent and Emily Willard put this together. Amazing. They are just a couple here in our church, very creative, and have put this together for us. So we're going to be in control for the next 4 weeks. It'll be great. Brené Brown said this. She's an author, speaker. She says, "We're not thinking beings who sometimes feel. We're emotional beings who sometimes think." All right, agree with that? Some of you are like, some of you understand that well. Some of you are like, no, I don't feel much at all. I'm just, so anyway, we'll keep going with that. So we're going to talk about joy today, one of our core emotions, one of the core things that drives us in our lives. And we're going to talk through that, how it has an implication in our daily life. I'm going to start with a story about my daughter who last fall called me from college, Madison, and said, "Hey, Dad, I know what I want for Christmas." Okay, you're in college. I'm giving you your Christmas present. What, you want something else? What is it? She goes, "I want to go skydiving. That's all I want for Christmas. I don't want any presents. I want anything else. I just want to go skydiving. And Dad, I want to go skydiving with you." Well, of course. Yeah, of course. Yes, thanks. So we made plans, and for Christmas, she opened up her certificate, and there it was, her little card, and there it was, certificate to go skydiving, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. Why? I'm not quite sure, but for two. So both of us decided to go. We go to Eloy, and if you've ever been to Eloy, it is a sorry little place. as we're driving through, I'm like, really? This skydiving place where I saw great pictures of and all of this stuff is here? Where? So you're driving through town, buildings condemned and closed, and then all of a sudden there's this little subculture just kind of opens up, this little compound, and there's planes and hundreds of people, and they're all jumping out of them and parachuting down and having the time of their lives and choreographing their jumps on the lawn and figuring out how to do this. I'm like, who knew? Who knew? So we get all strapped in. We go through this little, instructions. We get a guide who's luckily jumped thousands of times and takes us up. We're strapped into him. We get ready. We're on the plane. Get ready to jump out. And they say, "Well, who wants to go first?" Of course, Madison's already halfway out the plane. She's like, "And me, of course. Let's go." And so she jumps. We jump. Now, there's something that most of you probably don't know this because I don't talk about it, but I had a childhood incident where I broke both my eardrums. So my ears don't adjust to pressure change very well. About a 7 foot, 8 foot pool, that's about all I can do. After that, my ears just really start to hurt. And flying in planes is okay because it's pressurized cabins, but it usually takes 2 or 3 days after I land to adjust again, and just hard to repressurize my head. I didn't really think that through very well. Because I was just focused on what we were going to do in this experience. And we jumped out of that plane, and you go from 13,000 feet above ground and falling at about 130 miles an hour, they say. 130 miles an hour. That's a lot of pressure change in a hurry. It was like two people had a knife, one in each ear, and just started pushing it in and going, "Hey, does this hurt? Does this hurt?" Because it did. So I'm trying to pressurize as fast as I can, blowing, trying to adjust. And as soon as the canopy comes out, it's like, okay, now we can enjoy the ride. We get down to the bottom, we land, and Madison's already there, and they landed standing up. I landed sliding, it's like, and she's just this grin from ear to ear. It's just like, "Let's go again." No. She's so excited. The joy of this experience has just been overwhelming. The most important part of it is she and I have this incredible story. We have this memory. And if my other kids decide that's what they want to do, you know what? I'm going to jump out of another airplane. Because of what it means and what happens and what that relationship is built on. See, joy opens up this door of possibilities for us. We're willing to overcome a lot of things for what is to come. And we look forward to that. We look past this experience right now where what the work that it takes to pursue something greater. But here's where we get a little bit mixed up. We get confused with this pursuit of joy and the pursuit of happiness because they're two different things. Happiness looks down all the time. Happiness looks about this, what can I do right now to have this moment and this moment to be good? The problem is when we make those decisions, we forfeit what's coming because all it is concerned about the now, which oftentimes doesn't build toward the later. But joy is always forward-looking. Joy is much bigger than the moment of happiness. Joy is about saying the result down the road, what drives you, what is bigger, looking forward. Happiness is just saying, I'm uncomfortable, I need to change it right this moment. So we're gonna unpack that a little bit and see how that is lived out. And I think one of the greatest examples of that is the life of Jesus. And we're gonna, if you wanna turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, we're gonna start there. Page 566 in the Bible's in front of you. Hebrews chapter 12. Starts out this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11, if you've read Hebrews at all, you know that chapter 11 is the hall of fame of faith. It is just a list, verse after verse, of incredible men and women who overcame so many things, who experienced their faith, who had this reason to continue and to do what they did. Verse 13 of chapter 11, I want you to see a little bit of this surrounding of this great cloud of witnesses. All these people were still living by faith when they died. This is 11, verse 13. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. These great people who lived in faith, who lived knowing there was something greater, but never got to fully experience it. All of these people are listed here. People like Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab the prostitute. It's an amazing list of people. And you can go back and you can read her story and read their stories and see how they lived their faith and how they expressed that. And it's important to understand that's the context of chapter 12 as we get back to it. Therefore, since this great cloud of faithful people, these witnesses, they're watching, we're encouraged to do this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a phrase in there that I've been dwelling on, I've been looking at as I keep rereading this passage. For the joy set before him. For the joy that was set before him, it was such a powerful motivating force that Jesus endured the cross. The cross, this not this gold thing we wear around our neck, but the cross, this instrument of death that the Roman government used to totally bring shame and embarrassment to a person and their family because of what they had done, their crimes, their guilt. He endured that. Not only did he endure that, he endured the shame that all went with it, and he endured the alienation from all the people that said they loved him. From a week before being praised and ushered in to being abandoned and jeered, Jesus overcame all of that for the joy. For the joy that was set before him. And I look at that and go, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to endure just this conversation over here. For the joy set before him, he endured all of these things. What was that joy? Some have said, and some wonder if It is the sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Because if you look at the next verse, it's what it says, that's where he went. But I looked at that and I said, you know what? That's where he already was. John 1, we know that Jesus, the word of God, the spoken word of God, was with God in the beginning when he created the earth. Jesus is already there with God. I don't think it was for the joy of saying, yeah, if you go do this, you get to come back and have your seat again. That doesn't seem like good logic to me. I think there's something more to it. I think there's a bigger joy that is here. And what could be bigger than that? Let's think about what has happened in human history before. The creation, God is there in all of his personality, creates this perfect world, and creates us to be in relationship with him and to have dominion over it. There's only one problem with the plan. God introduces an element of risk. It's called free will. He allows man to choose, to respond emotionally, to decide how he's going to respond to God, to how he's going to respond in this relationship. And that element of risk causes a broken relationship. So at this point in human history, man is crying out to God, God, we need you. We're lost. We can't find you. And the joy that is set before Jesus is go and reconcile us to man. Man cannot come to us. He has exercised his free will and broken the relationship. There is only one way for man to come back to God, and that is for God to make a way. So Jesus is given the opportunity. The joy set before him is to say, you can reconcile man, your creation, to us. And it's that joy, knowing that the moments, the things that are happening now, the struggle, the cross, the shame, the guilt, the abandonment of friends, all of that drives him to what is coming, to what can the joy of reconciling and restoring this relationship. I will go through anything to restore the relationship I have with my creation. That joy drives Jesus. That joy drives his life. Otherwise, why would he put up with all the things that he did? Just to have what he already had? It's bigger. It was about restoring his creation. It was about bringing us back into that relationship. Where we struggle, the problem with where we struggle with joy and happiness is we think coming to Christ is like joyful, it's great, and life is going to be great all the time. Jesus said in John 16, 33, he said, in this life, you will have trouble. We're going to have trouble. Life is going to be filled with trouble. I've told you all things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Have joy, I have overcome the world. This bigger picture, this longer lens, this looking forward, Jesus has set the joy before you. Jesus has set the joy before me. Now let's get a little personal, okay? We see that, I can intellectually understand that. Now let's feel that a little bit. When's the last time you complained about how difficult your day was? When's the last time you complained about how hot it was? 35 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. When's the last time that we looked at the moment and were looking for joy and we were unhappy? And we were making that connection on happiness and joy, and we were just looking at this moment. We get stuck in these places. We think that we're not going to have trouble anymore. And Jesus says, have joy. I've overcome all of that. Look to him, the author and the perfecter, who overcame all of those obstacles and said, there is something bigger longer lens, looking forward, because I have set the joy before you, the joy of restoration of your relationship with God. Not the restoration of your relationship with your car that won't start, with the flat tire right in the middle of summer, with the unexpected incident at home, with this or with that, with these things that are out of your control. That's not what he's came to reconcile you to. He came to reconcile us to him, knowing that all these other circumstances are going to be a part of our life. We're going to have trouble. That's just normal. It's going to be there. Why don't you turn to Revelation chapter 21. Page 582, Revelation chapter 21, page 582, verses 3 through 5. The picture that we often forget about, the picture that we get stuck in is now, and Jesus paints a picture that's far bigger, far longer term. Verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more crying, no more death or mourning or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.'" The current state of affairs has death, mourning, crying, pain. That's the trouble we have. That's part of our lives. But the new order is coming. The joy that has been set before us is this restoration with the God of the universe, who sees past all those little things, all the things that we think are so big, and he goes, "Oh, those are just details. That's just the trouble I knew you were going to have living in the world. But that is not why you were designed. That's not what I have restored you to. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so you would be mourning and crying and in tears all the time. Jesus came so that you might overcome with him, that we would have joy, that we could seek that, we could have permission to find that, to look past our circumstances and look toward and hold on to what he came and gave us. It's what drove him. It's what he's placed before us. Joy has been set before us. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Just listen to this. "For our light and momentary troubles." Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing. If you know anything about Paul in his life, jailed, whooped, beat, imprisoned, shipwrecked. I mean, you name it, list it. Many of us would have a hard time keeping up with his list of trouble. And he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." All of these circumstances, nothing compared to the eternal glory that waits for us. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So here's where we struggle. I mean, some people go, they didn't live long enough. This person, their life got cut short. This person, wow, why are they still alive? My parents are that way. My mom died at 56 years old. We all went, well, this is way too young. My dad at 95 and a half is saying, oh, I don't know why I'm still around. I'm getting old. Yeah, you're old, but there's got to be something, Dad. We look at that. We look at, in jobs and things, we think, wow, my career is going nowhere. And we're sad about that and stuck. And then the other person's saying, wow, my career's taken off so fast, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. Well, which one is it? Which one's right? The reality is they're both the same. I got a new car. somebody hit me and wrecked my new car. I mean, these kinds of things happen all the time. There's all of these situations. I'm in this great relationship. I just struggled in this relationship. Just broke up. I want to have kids. Why did I have kids? I don't have enough kids. I have too many kids. If you don't have enough, by the way, you can just listen to last week. There's plenty of kids that need to be foster adopted, so you can just fill that need right now. We have all these issues that we start struggling with because we are looking down all the time. We are looking at this moment. We think this moment is the one that God said, this is the moment to make you happy and fulfill your life. The problem is time keeps ticking. My daughter and I went up in an airplane. We jumped out. She got down, said, that was awesome. Let's do it again. She hasn't gone again since. It was a great memory. It was a great moment. But it was not the joy that drives her, that causes her to live her life. It was an experience. Every moment we have is an experience. It is not what drives our joy. It's what we experience. Some of them moments are great. Some of them are trouble. It's, you know, it's incredible the circumstances we get to watch. I get to be a part of young love, getting together, watching these new couples come together and go through counseling and getting married and how exciting it is. And I get to sit with another couple who one of them is stage 4 cancer and they're making all the arrangements for his death, which is pending. In the same week, these kinds of things are happening all the time in our body, in our fellowship here. But they are light and momentary. You know that cancer is cured no matter what, 100% of the time? But we get so overwhelmed with the moment and the battle here, and we forget that Jesus, for the joy set before him, overcame everything so that we would be reconciled with God. And we allow the disease, or we allow struggle, or we allow light and momentary issues to overwhelm us and to rob us of what Jesus has set before us. And I know there are plenty of things. We all have a list. We can start making a list. Here's all the list of my light and momentary troubles, and we sometimes compare them. Oh, I got this aches and pain. I got this problem. I got this. I got this. I can't pay my bills. I can't. And we can go on and on and on. How often do we compare the joy set before us? The joy set before Jesus caused him, gave him the energy, the desire, and the willingness to propel through all of the light and momentary troubles that we would look at. How could someone endure all that? That was the depth of his joy. It's why the early church, the Christians who started worshiping Jesus early, who were killed and beaten and burned alive, how they could endure. Why? They had the joy of a reconciled relationship with God, and that drove them. And it didn't matter what anyone did to them. That's where I often struggle, though. Because I live in this place of comfort, in this place of pursuit of happiness. And I forget about why. I forget about that long-term lens, that long-term goal. I want to tell you a story of Dan and Sharon, friends of mine. They had a daughter who was in my youth group at the time, and Sharon came to me and shared her life story at that moment, was that her husband left and was living with a younger woman. And she was really struggling with that. She had every grounds to go and say, I'm done. You're out of here. Here's the paperwork. She didn't. And we prayed, and we would talk, and she surrounded herself with good counsel and continued to trust God in the midst of it. She came every once in a while. We would talk and we would chat and we'd see how things were going. I'd check in with her and see how I could help, and out of concern for her, out of concern for her daughter and just that whole family. She came to me one time. It's been months. This has been going on, months. Still same situation. And we looked and we started talking. How much longer are you going to hold out? What does this look like? Maybe you should make some other plans. Maybe, you know, and I'm beginning to doubt, I'm not giving her great biblical advice. And she looks at me. I'll never forget it. Her faith, my faith grew in this moment. Her faith was so strong because she had her eyes fixed on Jesus, not on the light and momentary troubles. She just looked at me and said, I want my husband back. I don't want him sleeping in her bed. I want him home with me, but I want him back. And that's what I'm fighting for. And she stayed true to that. She continued on diligently, knowing that he had free will and he was going to do whatever he wanted, but she was exercising her free will to trust God, to put her joy and understand her joy did not come whether or not he came home or not. Her joy was in her relationship with God. And because of that, she could endure the embarrassment that her husband had left, that her husband was cheating on her, that her husband was doing all these things. She could put that aside and go, I don't care. I know what could be. And I'm going to keep my eyes focused right on that. It took about 2 years. They reconciled. Now they get to love their grandkids together. Now they get to be that family that she had and desired. But it wasn't because she put him on a throne. It's because she had Jesus on the throne of her life and pursued him. Now, I know every story doesn't end that way. I know some of you are saying, I wish my story would end that way. Jesus puts the joy before you so that you can endure whatever is in front of you. These are light and momentary things. There is a long-term plan with him. Ability for you to live over and through all of the circumstances. If you will trust him, if we will trust him. Let me give you a couple of things to think about as we consider that Jesus has put the joy before us. First thing is to look up. Look up and look out. Most of our time, most of my trouble in life is because I'm looking down. I'm looking at the moment, I'm looking at the circumstances in front of me, and I forget to look up. Just this morning, I almost ran into somebody as walking out of a door. Where was I looking? Down. He was coming in, I was going out, the door opened. Oh, hey, sorry. And I realized, my eyes, I'm looking down. We look down because we don't want to trip. Jesus says, look up so you don't fall. Trust me. So you live your life in joy. You begin to look up and you look out. And this does not become as big. We can look and laugh at it. And some of you, we just need to have that attitude. It's like, you know what? Here's another light and momentary trouble. Wonder how long it'll be around. And move on. But instead, we just bask in it and start taking a bath in the trouble, covering ourselves with it and complaining about it and never moving on, never letting go. We get stuck there. If Jesus would have gotten stuck, I imagine it would have been the moment of his birth. After he's been in this nice, safe womb, comes out into the real world and says, this is what you guys have to put up with. I'm out of here. God, bring me back. Forget this. But he endures it all. It's all in front of him. It's all for him. Second thing is live in joy. And that's the hard part. I don't mean live in false happiness. I don't mean just paint a smile on and go, it's all joy. And be fake all the time when you're miserable. We got to admit, we have all kinds of emotions. They're all going to come out. We got to learn to live with them all. But that doesn't override. We never lose joy. Joy doesn't go away. Joy is what gets us up in the morning. Knowing, yeah, this is trouble. This is struggle. I need help here. Okay, get some help. Ask people. Surround yourself with people who walk with you through it. But don't get stuck there. Take and apply it and say, Jesus overcame it. I feel shame, but Jesus overcame shame. He said, take heart, have joy. I have overcome the world. If Jesus did it, he made the path available for you and I and calls us to it and says, come join me. Come join me. Last thing is make the source of your joy known to the world. when you're in a place and people are looking at you, man, your life is terrible. How can you have so much joy? Because it's not about all these terrible things, that's why. It's about who I know. Take the time to make your joy known. Take the time as you live your life in such a way that people look at you and they wonder, why are you so different? How come this situation that knocks all these other people down, why? How are you able to overcome? How are you able to press through that? How are you able to overcome all this? When I've seen other people in the same situation just get destroyed. Say, well, it's not because of the circumstances. They're overwhelming. I don't know what to do with them. But I do know, and I do trust Jesus who has overcome the world. And it's that joy that he set before me that drives me, that drives you, or has the opportunity to. Will you understand and put that in front and say, that's it? I'm no longer going to be controlled by the moments. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to look up. I'm going to trust God and experience the joy in my relationship that no circumstance can take away. I have been reconciled to Jesus, the creator of my life. He and I can talk freely on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. And if he has done that for me, I'm going to grab onto that and hold it all the way to the throne. Pray with me. God, I know it's one thing to process, and it's one thing to say words, and it's one thing to talk about joy, but God, I also know that in this room, many of us are stuck. We're stuck in our circumstances. We are stuck being held back. We are sometimes feeling like we're 2 or 3 feet deep in the mud, and we don't know how to move from the place that we're at with the circumstances we have to a place of just accepting your pure joy that you have set before us. God, I would encourage you just to help us. God, we submit ourselves to you. I ask that you reach down your hand as a loving father, grab our chins and pull them up so that we see you, that we look up, knowing that your plan is to overcome. And it's not to be overwhelmed. God, surround us with the people we need, the words that we need, the love that we need, so that we may experience the joy of being in that perfect relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.